Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show. Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 10th of December, Anno Domini 2011, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff to choose, things to lose, no booze.
Everything else.
Right. All right. So will the average PC Windows user jump to Windows 8 next year or snub the new OS as a platform geared more for mobile devices? Weighing in with a strong opinion on that question is research firm IDC, which recently unveiled a list of its top 10 predictions for 2012. Key among them was one prediction forecasting doom and gloom for Windows 8, certainly in the desktop arena. The next version of Windows will be Microsoft's first attempt to offer the same operating system for both PCs and mobile devices. IDC expects Windows 8 products to hit the market by August 2012, and possibly as early as the second quarter if Microsoft can move fast enough. But whenever Windows 8 is released, IDC doesn't see much excitement among the desktop crowd. Windows 8 will be largely irrelevant to the users of traditional PCs, and we expect effectively no upgrade activity from Windows 7 to Windows 8 in that form factor, the report said. Since the release of the Windows 8 developer preview in September, Microsoft has been battered by criticism from desktop users over the new Metro interface. In addition to those who just don't like the new look and feel, many have complained that the touch-based UI simply doesn't work well with a mouse and keyboard, which the vast majority of computers currently running Windows have. Behind the scenes of the Metro UI, Windows 8 will still offer the standard desktop that users know, but based on the developer preview, the desktop looks the same as it does in Windows 7, so users already turned off by the Metro interface may feel little or no reason to upgrade. In response, Microsoft has cautioned people that the developer preview is far from the final product and has promised to tweak Windows 8 to work more smoothly on the desktop environment. The company has also tried to explain and promote all the new features in Windows 8 through its Building Windows 8 blog, but many people remain skeptical. The enterprise market may also be slow to adopt Windows 8 on its desktop and laptops. Many companies have already upgraded to Windows 7 or are in the middle of a migration. Since a lot of businesses only upgrade every other version, Windows 8 could be bypassed by a significant number of users. Ironically, Microsoft itself has told enterprises still running Windows XP to jump to Windows 7 and not wait for Windows 8, advice that many will probably take. So our question to you at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, poll of the week, are you eager for Windows 8? Your choices are absolutely, I just can't wait. Oh, I can wait, all right. Not on your tintype and Windows who now? So far we've got 38 people voting. The majority of you say, oh, I can wait, all right, followed by not on your tintype. And just one of you said, absolutely, I just can't wait. And I'm betting that's ironic. When you're done with that poll, you will have more to say. So check the yellow box underneath. Click on the link and it'll take you to another website, a phenomenal website, really, when you get right down to it, where you can then enter your opinion. The question there is, why would or wouldn't you move to Windows 8? Right away. And, of course, that's our question to you. So you can give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
That's sort of the pattern, though, of average computer users, is that they don't upgrade until they're absolutely forced to when they have to buy a new computer. That's why Windows XP is still the most popular OS after 10 years.
Well, and that's why Windows, that's one of the reasons Microsoft stops supporting old versions. So essentially, eventually, people will have to move to Windows 8.
Yeah, average people don't want to upgrade because it's different and they don't like different. And then corporate users don't want to upgrade because they don't know if their stuff will keep working. So
exactly,
no one upgrades ever.
And I'm kind of surprised by this whole, we're going to make one operating system that works on phones and on desktops. Very different devices, very different purposes.
Radically different processors, too.
Radically different processors. It's just going to be, I think, not their best move. There have been other people who've tried it. Various Unix variants have been put on both phones and desktops, and were not successful.
Apple's now, facing the same thing now in the Lion operating system. There's a lot of the iOS
right,
in it,
right?
And it's creating a backlash from users that are used to the old way, and that's the problem. How much of it is people used to the old way, and how much of it is new users learning it the new way?
Well, the reality is, I don't want the same stuff in my phone that I want on my desktop. My desktop has very specific uses. I don't make phone calls for my desktop. Well, Skype to my daughter, but basically, no, I'll do video conferencing. I want quick, light responsiveness from my phone. Yeah. That's what I want. And if you want something else, if you want massive, big apps, et cetera, then for God's sake, get a desktop or get a tablet. You know, I can actually see, I mean, there are Windows 7 tablets. I personally don't own one.
I've heard.
Right? But there are Windows 7 tablets. That makes a certain amount of sense to me. You have a lot bigger screen. You have a lot more RAM. You can put a lot better processor in it. This craze to have one device that does absolutely every single thing is, I think, not a good place for the industry to be. There are a lot of things that phones are good at, and there are some things they're simply not good at.
The cloud synchronization, I think, is going to be a key to at least what sci-fi writers have been envisioning in the future, that no matter where you go, you pick up this device, you know, FlexiPad or, you know, say, you know, computer, tell me, and it has your stuff on it and knows what you do, and it's got your messaging and your documents, so wherever you happen
right.
to
that's
be.
That's the thing behind iCloud and Google Docs and everything else, and I get all that. But it really is there's a difference. The big difference is that for 90% of people, a phone or a tablet is a consumer device, mm-hmm. not a creator device. You don't create major content on those things. Not unless you had a keyboard and maybe another pointing device and all kinds of other stuff. For example, how many people honestly edit large movies on their iPad? You can edit movies on the iPad, but I'll bet there's not a single professional or quasi-professional who actually does it to any great extent.
Mm-hmm. We hear
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but major, no.
We hear a lot that it's like news reporting. The CNN iReport, it's happening right now. We can throw a title on it and upload it on the air. So that in the field, we need it really, really fast. Tablets are great for that.
Right. But if you've got the president speaking and you're recapping that for the 6 o'clock news, you're in the studio on the Avid. That's how it works.
Yep.
You don't do that anywhere else. And you know, right now we're in this craze where it has to do everything. Oh, my God, it has to do everything. But it really doesn't, and it's not going to. And I think we need to understand that, and I think we need to admit that one device won't do it all. And, of course, Microsoft is scared. On another level, Microsoft is scared. People aren't buying PCs as much anymore, and we're seeing that trend go downhill. The big gift this Christmas is a tablet of some sort, not a PC, not even a notebook or an ultra light notebook or ultra log or whatever the heck they're calling those things. People are buying tablets, and they're buying them with either iOS or Android on them. And Microsoft came so late to that market that they're just not a player. At least not at this point. Yeah. Now, maybe Windows 8 will help them, but, you know, they missed last Christmas. They missed this Christmas. I don't know that they're going to gain enough of a hold on the marketplace for next Christmas.
I've had people ask if you can get a mouse for the iPad because we've been using mice for 30 years.
Right.
And that it's that conceptual break. So when Windows 7 on a tablet, where's the first tablets, even Vista?
Yep.
People were used to a mouse and didn't know how to use you know, touch interfaces. There have been touch screens forever too, but they just don't work as well controlling a cursor as you would with, you know, with a physical finger. And so we've got this huge pent up way we've done things.
Right.
And switching over to something brand new is time consuming a lot of times.
Well, and look at if you're
I figured something out.
Congratulations. If you're actually a creator of content.
Yep.
You use a keyboard and you use a mouse. Can you do it without? Yes. But it's tedious. And you're not there to learn a new thing. You're there to get the job done. You know, that's the way that works. That's what that's about. And people have to understand that people want to work the way they want to work. When we all can do like Adama did in the original Battlestar Galactica and just talk to the computer.
Fleeing the Cylon tyranny.
Exactly.
The last Battlestar.
Exactly.
I could go on.
But it put the yes, I know you could.
Yeah.
But put the commas in and put the periods in. It started new paragraphs. It did all of that stuff without having to say. And I've done that. I actually wrote a document in Google Docs by talking to my phone, including comma, exclamation point, yada, yada, yada. You can do that. That's great. Do I want to do it? Oh, hell no. I'm sorry, but no. And it's just, it's not right. It's not going to do the work for you. It's not just not going to be the thing. Now, 40 years from now, when AI is different, then yes. But Siri isn't doing it either. You can't say to Siri, take some dictation and get grammatically correct English out of it.
It's a lot better than it used to be.
What I'm saying is it's not where it needs to be for you.
There's
to be able
There's been some
to
backstory
say,
on where Siri came from, and it started as a DARPA project.
I understand.
They
that.
Wanted to do voice recognition,
Look,
and it's amazing.
You don't need to defend Siri. I'm not saying Siri is bad. What I'm saying is it's not to the point where Adama's tablet is yet, and therefore it's not to the point where I can just walk around with my phone and do every single thing I need to do. Siri, take out frames 34 through 102. Tighten that up. Lighten it up here, add this caption underneath his face. It's just not happening.
We've been watching him do that on Star Trek for 40 years, and we want it.
We want it, but it isn't here yet.
I've got an app on my phone for, you know, the messaging in that, which I'm very surprised with. Voice recognition is pretty decent for just doing text messaging. You know, you just
I haven't typed a text message in a year.
Well, I was until I found one that was decent.
Right.
And this one that I've got now is very decent. You just talk slow and enunciate, and it does.
That's the problem. No one does that anymore.
Well, and that's right.
But no, I found if I just take my time, not try to rush it, and speak slowly, it types it out perfectly, and just hit reply.
Did you see Robin Williams on Ellen? That clip they were doing where Robin Williams mimicking Siri.
No, on Ellen.
Yeah,
she follows me on Twitter, but I don't. She
say hello to her for us, please.
I will. Yeah. I will. She follows me. I do follow her now, but I follow her because she followed me. I don't know why she follows me. I have absolutely, and I'm sure it's not actually her. It's some staffer.
It's the beard
stuck in a basement. No, it's clearly
the
beard.
No, she's heard reports of you look good in a dress,
and I do. You know I do.
Yes, I do. I have seen you in
a
dress.
You have seen me in a dress. And you know how darn good I look in a dress. Don't forget it either.
If I can do a sidebar here.
I don't know. Can you?
Oh, I'm going to anyways.
Yeah?
As I was talking to you before the show, I came up with this scathingly good idea, I hope. And I'm hoping...
we'll be the judge of that.
That our listeners will join in on this. One of my pet peeves is, you know, I enjoy going around the holidays looking at lights. Love driving around and seeing the Christmas lights and that type of stuff. But you know what? There's never usually a good list. So what I thought we could do is start getting some of our listeners to either email one of the three of us, and we could compile a list on the Soundbites page of all the good places between now and, you know, say the holidays, because most folks leave them up until after New Year's anyways, that we could compile this whole list and, you know, be able to have folks go print this list off and map out a route. And I got the first one. And this is a very good one. It's 100 Henderson Drive in Penfield. And he's doing it this weekend and next. And it starts from 6 to 9.
Perfect.
You know, and a great light display. And I know, Nick, you said you had a couple that you... If we could start putting this list together and throw it up there.
Folks, this is what I need you to do. You need to give us a call.
Yep.
And tell us about the places in your neighborhood that have great lights. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
I mean, that would be something that we could start now. And I mean, oh, and the other thing that I meant to mention, since we're not going to be here Christmas Eve.
Right.
You know what that means for next weekend.
We get to sleep in? Oh, no. What?
I just got all the makings.
Oh, excellent. Yes, thank you. Yes, please. Absolutely. Holy cow.
We will be making them either Monday or Tuesday night so they can ferment.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Dave makes these absolutely lethal rum balls. They are beyond delicious, and they are potent. I'm pretty sure they're not legal to be in the same room with anyone under the age of 21.
You don't light any matches. But one thing, you know, that's another thing we could do to help the station out, is if anybody says...
Get everybody drunk?
No.
I'm sorry.
If anybody wants the recipe, if they would just say, send in, say, a check to Jazz90.1 for $10 and say rum balls on it. And I'll send him the recipe.
Terrific idea. Send it in. Send it in.
I don't know if Rob will get in trouble with that for Rob, but
yeah,
I'm sure he'll.
Yeah, that may be.
He'll text me soon, but you know if it's.
Yeah, we're not going to make that offer until we hear from Rob.
Yeah,
that may not be legal.
I don't know. Can it?
No, I don't.
We
no,
did it we during the pledge
know.
Drive.
Yeah,
we did it during the pledge drive, and this is just a holiday drive.
Get a jump on the spring pledge drive.
Yes. which we do have to mention.
Yeah.
On March 6th, March 10th, the tickets go on sale February 6th. But on March 10th, we are doing the second annual pancake breakfast. And just like last year, $5 gets you in the door. Kids under 5 are eat free. It's all the pancakes, sausage, juice. And we're going to have raffles, giveaways. And you're going to be able to listen to the Polka Guys from 10 to 12. And then us from 12 to 2.
Now, they only serve till 1:30.
Till 1:30. That's the qualifier. Yeah. So you got to get there early. And like if it's anything like last year, those Polka folks were dancing in the aisles.
They were dancing in the aisles. Our people were not dancing in the aisles.
But we were crowded. And so folks are going to want to get their tickets early.
And how much are those tickets?
$5.
$5 for breakfast and a show?
Yes. Two shows, raffles, and giveaways.
Raffles, giveaways. So save your nickels now. We would love to see all our friends of the show, all our listeners, everybody to come on down and crowd the place out. We would absolutely love that. Tickets go on sale the start of February.
Who's that guy?
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Tickets on sale in February.
And
Saturday,
March 10th is the actual pancake breakfast. And so we would love to see you there. It would be an absolute joy to have you there.
It's the week before St. Patrick's Day. So we can do some Irish pancakes.
There you go.
You're going to like this one.
Shouldn't we be taking a break at some point?
Got a minute.
Give me a second. I was just getting this. I was going to say after we take this break, we will then.
All right. So we are going to. Is that what we're doing? All right. We're going to take a quick break.
I was trying to do a couple
back
things.
Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Christian, who's on the line. All of you, it's going to be an interesting next segment. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. For more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I'm Paul Kiley, better known as the Doctor. And I'm on from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. every Monday morning right after the Spectrum on Jazz Overnight. It's all happening right here on your station. 7x24. 365. It's Jazz 90.1 and Jazz 901.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 26 minutes after the hour, hey, we have Christian on the line all the way from Houston, Texas. Yeehaw!
Hey, how you guys doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Great.
How are things in Texas?
Starting to cool off, you know.
Cool off.
Yeah.
Since you were in Rochester, what's cool off to you in Houston?
Oh, we're about 54 right now.
Shut up.
I feel for you, but I'm sitting.
We're at 27. What?
There were some clouds yesterday.
Oh, there were some clouds. Ooh,
ooh, pretty.
So you guys are looking for some Christmas lights, right?
Yeah.
There was a really nice one on Boxwood Ave. It's across from the Parrington Wegmans in the Blackwatch neighborhood. And they do the whole house and everything. It's really nice. I hope they're still doing it.
Oh, okay. On Blackwood Avenue.
Blackwatch.
Blackwatch. Oh, yes.
Across from the Parrington Wegmans.
Yes, I know where that is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're going up the hill on Boxwood, and it's on the right side.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just writing that down.
That's near where I live, and I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. Although we usually cut up A-Ralt.
I was going to say, why don't you check that one out if you come one night?
Yeah. We'll check it out, and we'll get it on the list. Thanks.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for the show.
Now you're telling all your friends in Houston to listen to the show, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I want to hear. Thanks, all right. Christian.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
You too. Have fun.
I did find a website for a guy in Henrietta that is doing big Christmas lights every year. Said he's got 16,240 lights, and he's running 40 amps of power. And he has a graph on his website of the power usage.
Oh, jeez.
And that's at t2lights.com if you're interested in. The city used to do one out in, or probably county, out in Northampton Park that we went to a lot. We would drive through the park, and they had the whole park lit up.
Well, there's one over there by Nick on Monroe Avenue near the Hess gas station, one of the side streets there. I swear, the guy puts it up just about on every inch of the house, front and back and sides, is just covered with lights. I don't know if he still does that. I'll check that one out.
Yeah, then there's another one farther down. Off, I think it's this street that Lola is on the corner of, and we'll check that
whatever
out.
Whatever Lola wants,
Lola gets.
Nah, see, I'm doing a newer Lola than you.
Yeah, right.
Age difference.
Yeah.
Right. All right, here's another interesting piece of news. Even as Mozilla's Firefox browser has been surrounded by uncertainty in recent weeks, Chrome seems to be having a very good month. Not only did Google software officially surpass Firefox to assume the number two position in market share last week, but yesterday it was named the most secure of the top three browsers by security firm Accuvant. Both Google Chrome and Microsoft Internet Explorer implement state-of-the-art anti-exploitation technologies, but Mozilla Firefox lags behind without just-in-time or JIT hardening, the company explained in a 100-page study. In other news, there's 100 pages of stuff you can say about browsers. Chrome's plug-in security and sandboxing architectures, meanwhile, are implemented in a more thorough and comprehensive manner, making it the browser that is most secured against attacks, Accuvant said. The study was commissioned by Google. I think it's important to note that. But its results and the tools and data behind it are available online for inspection, and other people have done so. Whereas many browser security comparisons focus on metrics such as vulnerability report and counts and URL blacklists, Accuvant puts its emphasis instead on anti-exploitation techniques. On five key characteristics, for example, vulnerability patching, safe browsing API, sandboxing, JIT hardening, and plugin architecture, Chrome offered a first-rate implementation, Accuvant found. Internet Explorer came in second due to its deficiencies in the implementation of sandboxing and JIT hardening, while Firefox came in last of the three for failing to implement those two key features altogether. Chrome was also the most frequently updated of the three browsers, Accuvant found. Boy, do I know that. And it patched vulnerabilities most quickly with an average patch time of just 53 days compared to Firefox's 158 and Internet Explorer's 214 days to patch vulnerabilities. Accuvant analyzed the three browsers, which together account for more than 93% of the market, it says, while running in a Windows 7 environment. The results of the study largely echo those from this year's Pwn to Own hack event, from which Chrome emerged unscathed. So our question to you, thinking more seriously about switching to Chrome, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Chrome is the lean, fast browser that Firefox used to be.
Yep.
And I'm worried that Chrome is going to get big and bloated, too.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about Chrome that I really like, and I don't think I put this in here, they keep adding stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they just added yesterday is the ability to, in the browser, run console games.
What?
I say, in the browser, you can run console games.
How do you do that?
They're shortly put... Well, they're going to be... Yeah, right. I have to do that right now.
Because I can do Chrome games now. Yeah.
Well, but
Chrome
that's
store,
where
yeah.
you find them. They're going to be putting them online. Oh, yeah. They've got some... They've got a couple up there now. And they're going to be adding more. You know, you go into the Chrome to, you know, add a thing. It's essentially the Chrome store. And you can add console games. And they've just... They started one yesterday. You're not going to get Skyrim or that, right? But there are a couple up there, and there are going to be more as time goes on. They just announced the technology this week, and they just put up a couple of examples that they got from various console game makers. So there will be much more of that as time goes on. It's a very clever idea, and it just once again points up the fact that, you know, once you've got a Chromebook, for example, there's a lot less else you need. Yep. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing more of that. But that's all part of the browser, and the folks at Google, their feeling continues to be that the browser is all you need.
It's all like HTML5, right, and JavaScript?
Yeah, it's just all HTML5 and JavaScript.
No flash needed.
No flash needed, yeah. and that's the interesting part about it. You can create these games and run them essentially in any HTML5 device. And we've seen already that Adobe has just essentially abandoned flash on the mobile platforms, and I cannot imagine that it's going to last that much longer in the non-mobile platform. When you can do everything you need to do with HTML5, and it simply runs faster and lighter.
Yep.
So it seems to me that as time goes on, we're going to be seeing more and more stuff happen in the browser. And so if you really want to have a keyboard and a mouse, you get yourself a Chromebook. And if you really want to have just a tablet, you can do that with either an iPad or an Android tablet, but nowhere in what I just said is the name Microsoft, mm-hmm. which brings us back to that first story, which is where does Microsoft find itself in the future? They've made a living, they've made a huge business out of a platform that is becoming more and more irrelevant.
Yep. A lot of the reasons I hear about not switching from Firefox is that there's so many plugins for Firefox that do so many cool things. And a lot of them aren't available for Chrome. But part of that is a good thing because of the sandboxing and security built into Chrome. And that's usually what we hear from the plugin authors that, well, I can't write that for Chrome because of the way Chrome's architecture works. For a lot of people, just start using Chrome, and you probably don't need some of those plugins you were using.
Well, and that's a large part of it right there, for real. The reality is that, one of my friends used to say, well, I can't use anything but Firefox because it has the web developer plugin. I said, well, I've got that web developer plugin in Chrome.
Yep.
And another one said, well, I can't do this. You're right. It is absolutely true that most of that stuff is available almost everywhere else. One of the things that I was talking about to somebody yesterday, I think it was just online, he was looking at Google Cloud Print and saying, wow, I can print, right from anywhere to my desktop. I said, really? You still print? I just don't print anymore.
Yep.
If I print a PDF, right? And then I send it to somebody.
Yep.
Most people don't. Most people under the age of 50.
I'm trying to get my wife out of that habit of printing everything, or at least using both sides of the paper.
Yeah, right.
The only time I print, there are two times when I print. One is for here, because when you're on the radio,
yeah, can't
throwing
read.
Paper around really is the way to do it still. I'm sorry, yep. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried it the other way, and I'm just not facile enough with it yet. And the other time is when I have to give that. There it is. When I have to give stuff to my boss because he wants it on paper.
Yep.
Well, okay. So I have a printer at my desk.
You want a job, so you give it to him the way
exactly
he wants.
Right. Exactly right. He does not. Yep. He does. You know, I said I'll get you an iPad. Why would somebody turn down a free iPad or Android device?
Maybe they're just not informed enough.
Well, he's set in his ways, and he's a great man, and he's very, very good at what he does. And I really don't want to rock his boat because he does it really well, right? Maybe. I mean, he does his job well. I couldn't do what he does.
What's good,
he doesn't
you don't
do what
mess
I do.
Yep.
So I give him paper. That's the way that works. You know, I've exposed him to the other, and he's not that interested. And so, okay.
I have to interject. We did have one caller, Bob. He said in the IRC chat he listed a link of a good site for tree light.
Yeah, he did. Thank you, sir. I will copy that to my document. I'm actually creating a Google Doc, and
I'm surprised there isn't something already, a list of that. I've been Googling around, and I see a lot of other cities have someone's already created a list of it.
Right.
How about RockWiki? I wonder if they might have something.
Yeah, there's an idea.
If they don't, they will now.
That's right.
Oh, we did have one person here in the chat put in, Nick, need help with an Android market? Try typing in UPS. Do they have any Android apps?
A UPS Android app. Let's Google it and see.
He goes, by the way, I love my new Samsung Galaxy Media Player with 5-inch screen.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, UPS.com/Android. They have an Android app for mobile tracking. Track your shipments, find out where they are.
Yeah, the question is it actually in the...
Is it in the Android market, or do you get it directly from UPS?
Right. I'm sorry, I'm trying to do 18 things at once, and clearly
well,
I'm doing
faster,
all of them
faster.
Badly. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
They have iPhone, BlackBerry, and Android models. Let me see if it says somewhere where to get it. Yes, go to the Android market and search for UPS Mobile.
All one word?
Two words.
There you go. UPS Mobile. And so
and that's
you can get Go Brown.
Half the trick of searching is knowing what words to search for.
Well, that's the worst part. Well, and Android, the Android market... right now at I think it's market.google.com. We'll talk about that when we get back. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the... Sneak that up on me, won't you? Yeah, sure. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Because we're coming back with more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. I started to talk about this before the break when Dave snuck up on me. But the Android market at market.android.com, it is the official Google market, and they are having...
Wait a minute.
You
I
snuck up
out?
On me.
Wait a minute. And
you
who
snuck
was,
up on
who
me.
Who snuck up on me and said, hey, aren't we late for a break? So I'm trying to do
and
it on time.
So
it evens out.
I didn't sneak up on you. I actually...
In other words, I'm not going to win this one.
I frontal assault. This was an ambush. All of a sudden, I'm suddenly hearing the music in my headphones while I'm talking, and it's low enough that I almost didn't hear it. I would have just kept on.
Yeah, I'm still...
I understand that, but that's why I'm saying it snuck up on me. Suddenly I was hearing the music. I was like, whoa. I had no idea how long it had been going on. Anyway...
Wait a minute! You say you hear music and noises and voices in your head anyway.
In my head all day.
So this is just another one. So
that's
what's
exactly
the big
my
deal?
Point? That is my point.
Oh, okay.
Louder.
Now I got
the voices in my head for me to hear it. That's the problem I have. I have tinnitus or tinnitus, if you prefer. It's a ringing in the ears, and there are
CRS.
Times there, yeah, right. Well, I have Kraft, as a matter of fact.
Kraft? What's Kraft?
CRAFT. Can't remember a thing.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Can I borrow that one?
Yeah, it's yours. Take
thank
it.
Thank you.
We had a guy who used to come to market had that on his hat. I said, Kraft? He said, yeah, can't remember a thing. I may have missed. The point here is that if the sounds are not loud enough, I can't hear them. Because there are days I find myself shouting at people, and it's not because I'm actually angry with them. I just can't hear myself talk. But at any rate, we were talking about the Android market, the official Google Android market at market.android.com. They are having a special deal this week. They are celebrating their 10 billionth download. That's right, billion with a B, 10 billionth download. And every single day for 10 days, and we are in day 4, they are offering 10 apps for 10 cents each. These are official. These are the official real apps, apps that you normally would pay for. No, they're not offering free apps for a dime. These are real apps. They're combinations of utility programs and games and stuff. Today's offering is Pano, which is an award-winning panoramic photography software. The Slided Keyboard, which I will be buying when I get home this afternoon. Connect the Dots for Kids, Asphalt 6, Season Zen. Some special wallpaper, Drop 7 by Zynga, and a little game you may have heard of that you can buy today only for 10 cents in the Android market, The Sims 3. That's right, the full game, The Sims 3, 10 cents today only. That's a heck of a deal. I don't care what anybody says. 10 cents. Normally a little more expensive than that, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know what it is for the mobile version. The desktop version is like $40-$50.
Yeah, exactly. And this deal is 10 cents. So the way I feel about it, if you have a dime, what are you playing? I don't know what that was, but it was...
I'm trying to figure something out here.
All right, go ahead. Have fun.
Maybe it was just in our heads.
Yeah, that could have been for me. That absolutely could have been for me. The voices in my head are telling me, get off the radio. But the basic... Yeah, I know, and everybody else out there listening is going, yes, please, please, yes, please. But 10 cents for The Sims. You know, yesterday I bought a game, a utility program called Paper Camera. And what it does is it lets you either, while you're taking a picture or afterwards with pictures you've already taken, put effects on them, like it looks like a sketch or it looks like a cartoon or it's neon. It looks like it was drawn in neon things, right? Very, very cool piece of software. 10 cents. And I thought, how bad can it possibly be for a dime?
Yep.
Right? So I bought it. I love it. I absolutely love it. The pictures come out just great. For certain pictures, more than others, obviously, in any case. But, wow, it was nifty. And today I'm absolutely, when I get home, I am getting slided. I am buying that, no question. Hopefully I can put that on my new phone when I get it. I'm up for a new phone, but the Galaxy Nexus is not yet available. And Sims 3 for a dime, even if you don't play it very often. For a dime?
Even if you don't have an Android phone, buy it now for when you do.
Buy it now for when you do. I'm not kidding. 10 cents? Even if you don't get an Android phone for a year, it's a dime.
Yep.
I'm very, very pleased. I'm very pleased with the stuff they're doing. You know, you log on with your Google ID, which is essentially, you know, the same one you would use for Gmail and everything else. And when you, it comes right down to your phone. And once you own it, you own it. So you go to the market anytime and log in. And you can say, oh, I've got a new Android device. Here it is, like my new phone. And I want to download my purchased apps to it. Boom, yeah. Down it comes. So I'm really looking forward to Slide It because I use that on my phone now. I've got the version back when it was still beta, and it was wonderful. And The Sims 3 and Pano and all of those for today. So there's 10 apps, and their names are Pano, Apparatus, Slide, IT, Keyboard, The Sims 3, and it's apparently the entire thing. It's Age of Zombies, Kids Connect the Dots, Drop 7 by Zynga. Zynga, of course, makes every freaking game on Facebook. Season Zen HD, Asphalt 6, Adrenaline HD, and Snowfall Live Wallpaper. I think Season Zen HD is also wallpaper. But, you know, the stuff in the Android market will run on any Android device. So that'll run on your phone, and it'll also run on your tablet. So you should have no trouble with that. It's a brilliant promotion that they're having, and it's all to celebrate their 10 billionth download. Just go to market.android.com. It shows up right at the top. If it scrolls off, you can either wait for it to come back around or use the arrows to make it come back. But it's pretty danged amazing.
I want to go back to that previous caller for a minute with asking about the UPS app.
Yeah.
We have a little rant against shipping companies these days.
Uh-oh.
We've opened a new store in Webster.
Congratulations.
And we're trying to ship stuff to our new store.
Sure.
They can't find it and send it back.
That's not a good thing to have happen.
The address is on the box. We have a big sign in the window.
I assume you're actually on the street as opposed to...
We're in a strip mall. It's the Webster Woods Plaza at 5 Mile Line Road.
And so you're in the front of it, not in the back, behind the dumpster.
If we see the UPS or FedEx truck or whatever driving by, we'll run out, it's us. But it used to be a wine store, so I guess they're not used to a computer store yet. But you have the address. Deliver it.
Yeah, right. It's an address. It doesn't matter whether it says wines or computers on the outside. You've got the address. Well, there's the other problem, of course, which may be that whatever software they're using had the wine store in it.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't have this store.
Well, part of the problem we think may be it's 807 Ridge Road. And we're in E, so that all of the stores are lettered. So 807E Ridge Road can easily translate into 807 East Ridge Road.
East Ridge Road, right.
But it's Webster. East Ridge Road is in Irondequoit.
Right. You'd think they would get that.
And the drivers have all their regular schedules. They're probably delivering stuff to the other stores in the plaza. Just can't find us.
Just can't find you guys. Well, yep. it'll show up.
It'll catch.
I don't know what to tell you.
So for now, we're taking stuff from our Victor store out to Minden.
Well, that's the way you have to do it. But that's got to be a pain in the neck to drive all that stuff out there and like that. Well, we are in the process, like I said, of putting together a list of all the holiday light sites that you have found. So please, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You can always email us. Send it right to dave@soundbites.org. And we'll be more than delighted, if not actually thrilled, to put together a list of all of those lights and update it as we go.
And where will you be putting that list?
We will be putting that list on our website at soundbites.org, probably on the links tab, the 2011 holiday lights list, holiday house lights house. I'll put it up there somewhere.
Next to the utterly magnificent 6 days of Christmas.
And they were utterly magnificent. We don't do that so much anymore, but back in the day, those were pretty freaking terrific, I got to say it. We had a great time with that, and we had It was quite lovely. Over the years, we've done some amazing things. We've had the secret soundbites archives. We've had the logos and all that, and the movie posters and all of that other stuff. It's all great stuff. Of course, if the government goes through with SOPA and PIPA, we'll be taking all those down because they will now be illegal. Every one of them.
I like that one comment about sofa and pizza. They go together, don't they?
Yeah, you think. Yeah, exactly. Sofa and pizza certainly do.
The Christmas price index has been released.
Wonderful.
And it's a bloody Flash page that takes forever to load.
You know, people, get off of Flash. Get over it. Get walk away from it.
So if it would load, I would tell you that it's up this year, I think 20% over last year.
And what is the Christmas index?
I don't remember, so I'm waiting for it to load.
Okay, we're at 67%.
It's the cost of the 12 days of Christmas.
Oh, I see. Right. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. So Partridge and Pear Tree.
No, there's an ad. I don't want an ad.
Of course there's an ad.
Get rid of the ad. Next.
Next ad.
Get rid of the ad. Get rid of the ad. Get rid of the ad.
What is this? Is that another ad?
Let me go back to the news story about it. That would probably be better here. Forbes has the news story about it instead of going to the original site's link.
And really, apparently all that link is designed to make you watch ads so they can get money.
Probably.
Nice.
12 Days of Christmas this year has bumped up 3.5%. Last year it was 9%, so it's huge. And now there's some argument whether if you buy one of everything, it's $24,000. But if you buy all 364 separate things,
right.
Because on the second day he bought the first one again.
Oh, that's right.
A partridge in a pear tree. That's two partridges in a pear tree. So by the 12th day, he's got 12 partridges and 12 pear trees. If you buy all of them together, it's $101,000.
Is that all?
Yep.
How much do 11 Lords Leaping cost?
They went to...
I assume you only rent them.
Yeah, you rent them, yep. Yeah. They went to Philadelphia's Waterloo Gardens to get the prices of the partridges. They went to Philadelphia. Everything in Philadelphia this year. Philadelphia Dance Companies and the Pennsylvania Ballet to get the 10 Lords of Leaping and the 9 Ladies Dancing. The National Aviary in Pittsburgh for the Turtle Doves.
Very nice.
And quite often they say differences in what changed over last year. You know, the price of gold is up, so the 5 gold rings. And,
And certainly 8 maids of milking. By the time you end up with
cows,
40
yep.
of them, that's 40 maids and 40 cows.
Yep. And they also talk about you've got the 7 swans of swimming are $6,300, but what are they swimming in?
Right.
So you got to buy the pool for them, too.
Right. A big enough pool that you can put 7 swans in it.
Yeah.
Right.
So 364 separate pieces of Christmas joy.
Christmas joy. Your mic's not on.
Thank you.
There you go. We'll teach you how to run that board someday.
No, it's this Mac.
Well, there you are.
That in this production, we found out one of the snafus, so at least I got one of our liners back in there for the sound. But
very nice.
Linda and I figured one out. But
very nice.
We're getting there.
And it's time to get there.
No, you still.
It's getting there. I'm just keeping you. Well, you were so busy fixing things. I want to just back. I'm backstopping you. I'm just making sure that.
I know you got my back.
I got your back.
And hey, you know what?
That's how that works.
And you know, just for that.
All righty, that's it then. You have clearly wasted, and this week I truly, truly mean wasted. Another hour of your life with sound bites, but you're going to get another hour. Thank you. I can hear that. Thank you very much. You're going to get another hour to do that. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hear me now.
Hear me now and hear me later. We're going to be back with more of Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. We know you need to take a quick breather, however, so we'll give you a few minutes to do that. We need you to give us a call, though. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free. 1-800-790-0415. You can call us with a computer question. You can call us with where you would find the best holiday lights. Or, of course, you can call us with your own rum ball recipe on the longest-running computer show in the known universe.
And Uncle Dave's Story Hour.
Oh, and Uncle Dave's Story Hour on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Hey, I've been looking at those 10-cent Google apps, and I'm going to be spending a couple of dimes. Even if you bought all of them every day for 10 days, you'd get 100 apps for $10. 100 apps.
That's good.
For 10. And they're all commercial apps. They're the full commercial version. It's not like you're getting the... You know, so a lot of the free versions are try this, or that's the demo mode, or, you know, if you want more levels, you have to pay. This is the full experience, so it's pretty cool. However, you're not going to have any place to put them. If you were to want to store them on your computer, you might not have any place to put them, because hard disk drive supplies, shortages in the wake of the Thailand flooding will continue to affect consumers, computer system manufacturers, and corporate IT shops into 2013, according to market research firm IDC. I think the most painful period will occur now through February of next year. We expect the situation will improve, but it won't feel as if things are back to normal until 2013, said John Reidning, an IDC analyst who follows the hard disk drive market. Reidning said supplies will increase to the point where it will be possible to meet immediate demand in the second half of the year, of next year, 2012. But distribution channels, online retail sites, and system manufacturers will continue to feel the effects into the following year. This week, Lenovo sent an email to its corporate IT customers telling them it is out of a number of hard disk drives, including the highly popular 7200 RPM models. In the email, Lenovo representative stated that customers who normally purchase systems with 160 gigabyte 7200 RPM drives or various other drives that are unavailable will have to settle for off-spec drives. The Lenovo representative said the hard disk drive supply chain remains fluid and is monitored daily by the company's executives. Akin to the hysteria when banks defaulted in the 1930s, PC orders across the industry are being placed for which hard drive supply does not exist, the rep wrote. Lenovo Global Supply Chain Team is providing updates throughout each day. In this regard, we will all have to be flexible and adjust expectations. Simply put, the configuration to which you have been accustomed, unfortunately, may now be in default, and we'll have to adjust our configuration and build a system that has an available hard drive, the email stated. Lenovo said it will swap unavailable drives for another product the industry can still provide, such as 5400 RPM models. Even then, customers will have to wait an additional 45 to 60 days for those drives to become available, the email stated. According to the Lenovo email, the drives that are unavailable for some ThinkPad laptops include 750 gigabyte 5200 RPM models, and those with configurations of 320 gigabyte 5400 RPM, 250 gig 7200 RPM, and 160 gigabyte 72 RPM drives. So our question to you, does the shortage of hard drives bother you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, you can always call us toll-free from all over the world, including Houston, Texas, at 1-800-790-0415. But wherever you call us from, give us a call, just like Joe did from nearby Fairport, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
Peachy, how are you?
I'm good. This is a good opportunity for IBM in New York to get their factories working again for the hard drives.
Ain't that the truth?
90% of the hard drives were made in Thailand, and we've seen prices quadruple. In fact, I'm looking at an ad here on Newegg. I don't know why, but they have a 1 terabyte 3.5-inch drive for $1,300.
Holy smokes!
1 terabyte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Oh, yeah. Terabyte hard drives were going for around, you could pick one up, say, on Tiger Director. Yeah. You get it for like maybe $110. Wow. Right now, they're going to average around $300.
Yep. I don't know what's special about this. It's a 7200 RPM, but they're asking 1300.
I bet it's a hot swappable for a server.
Because, it's got a weird bay on it.
Yeah. It's definitely a server drive. And that's going to be a big problem. People with servers are going to, if you've got a RAID array and a drive dies, good luck getting another one.
I mean, right now, the only drives that we've been able to get are 500 gig. Because terabyte hard drives, it's dried up.
Yep, you're not going to find them. And then pretty soon those 500s are going to be in short supply as well. Yep. Anyway, Joe, what was your question?
No, I just wanted to point out that IBM has the capacity to make these things here in New York State.
Well, IBM sold their hard drive line to
Hitachi,
which has just been bought by Western Digital.
Right.
And Samsung's hard drive line was purchased by Seagate. So we're back to basically Seagate and Western Digital are the only two major hard drive companies anymore.
Right, the facilities exist here, is my point.
The buildings are still here. I don't know if the machines are still in there. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it would be, it would be really, really lovely if somebody brought some manufacturing back to New York State.
It would be cool. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to bring up.
No, I love it. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, you take care.
You too. There was, here's the thing. A lot of manufacturing went overseas. From all over the United States. And now we're finding that the places they went may not be as secure physically in terms of natural disasters as we would like them to be.
And that's sort of the problem. It's almost hard to blame the businesses when you can move your manufacturing overseas at a tenth of the cost.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about silly things like OSHA and benefits.
Right. But we've reaped the rewards. If you can buy a terabyte drive for $100, people love that.
Yep.
What are you going to say? That's the way it works.
The first hard drive I bought was 100 megabytes for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're down to, it used to be cost per gig, and we're 1,000 gigs used to be $100. What is that, 10 cents per gig?
Right,
some ridiculous, and it used to be $1,000 a meg, which was $100,000 a gig, the early hard drives. So prices have come down, quality has gone up in the most case, and one of the ways they've increased capacity is changing manufacturing so that they're able to put more and more bits on a single platter. We used to talk about full height hard drives. That were literally the size of a shoebox. And then when we got half-height hard drives, wow, they were tiny. Now they've pretty much standardized on these hard drives that are half an inch tall. They could double the capacity by making them an inch tall and just putting more platters in them.
Right.
But people want small and sleek, so we're not doing that anymore.
When we sold IBM PCs, they came with a 5-megabyte hard drive.
Yep.
And you could add a hard card, which plugged into a slot in the back. And it plugged into a slot in the back. It was 10 meg, so it was double the capacity of the internal hard drive, triple the capacity of your entire machine, and it was only $1,095 for 10 meg.
Yep.
But, we sold them by the tens of thousands. People loved them. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Julie from Largo, Florida.
That's me.
Welcome, Julie. How are things in Largo?
Oh, they're just lovely, and I figured I'd spend a few minutes wasting my time with you.
Thank you so much. That's very sweet of you. Are you tired of the sun and the sand and the water and the bikinis and everything else, and so you decided to come in and hang with us for a while? It's so sweet.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the bikini part.
Yeah.
But I do have a question. It has nothing to do with a hard drive or any other drive.
All righty.
The turbo speed when you order your Roadrunner, what is the difference between the regular speed and what you pay $5.99 more a month for?
$5.95. Yeah, that's
all. Something like that.
The regular, I just read on Stop the Cap that they're raising their speeds. The regular Roadrunner speed is up to 10 megabytes per second.
Right.
Turbo is 15 and max is 20, I think.
So it's simply faster.
It's faster. And they have even higher tier services now. I think their fastest service is 30 down and 5 up for if you need really fast. But the key issue there is it's up to 10 megabits bytes per second. So it often depends on how many other people in your area are using Roadrunner as to what speeds you get. I frequently see 15 to 20 on my Roadrunner in Fairport.
Right.
And maybe that's because I'm only one using Roadrunner.
Yeah, well, there are many people in your head.
And the similar issues occur with DSL from the phone company, but those limitations are based on how far you are from the phone switch.
Right.
So there's always a limitation on either side. But DSL usually peaks out at 8 megabits. Some places can get up to 10. So from pure numbers, Roadrunner is faster. But it depends entirely on where you live and the infrastructure around you.
How many people in your neighborhood are doing the same thing?
Yeah, because I was just wondering if it's worth the extra money.
If you download a lot of files, if you're constantly streaming high-resolution movies, or if you're downloading multi-gigabyte Linux distributions, then yeah, I think it was Phil that's got the 35, and it's not enough for him. But for the average person, the 10 is probably enough. In fact, they have a light service that's 1 meg down and 1 meg up, and for email and web surfing, that's probably enough.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and I hope that we all wasted our time very good round here.
Exactly. Well, I have to ask you, though, Julie, what's the temperature down in Largo right now?
What's the temperature here? It's probably about 76.
Okay, we officially hate you, but we love you, Julie.
Okay, well, talk to you next
week.
Could
be down there.
It's a deal.
Yep.
Riding on the motorcycle, gorgeous weather.
I know, in the 70s, perfect weather, very nice. But you know what? You know what we love about Rochester?
Huh.
Oh, I was hoping you had an answer. No, I do. I love Rochester. I love
this town.
I love this area. I don't care.
I got to admit, I do like the change of seasons, but if we could just cut out the snow one. I love fall. I love spring. I love summer.
Yep.
Just knock it down to 3 seasons.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, Rochester is the city of 2 seasons, winter and construction.
Yeah, right.
No, my brother,
and 4th of July.
My brother always says it's just two weeks of summer is just 2 weeks of bad ice fishing.
Yeah. That makes sense to me too, actually. There's a beauty in this area that I really like. Hey, I got to tell you about this one. Hmm. There is a company called Ainol, A-I-N-O-L. I don't know how you pronounce that. The website you want to go to is ainovo.com. They are actually selling an Android tablet with Ice Cream Sandwich on it, which is the newest operating system for, and I hope you're sitting down, $99.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. Right? I don't have one because, in fact, they're sold out. They were sold out about an hour after the thing went up. They say they're going to have more, and everybody who's looked at it says it's peppy and fun and works and it's coming out of China, and they can make them for $99. But if you can't wait for Ainol's $99 ice cream sandwich tablet to show up in the United States, because it's not actually here yet.
What size screen is on there?
Ice cream sandwich is the newest version of the Android operating system.
But what size screen?
Oh, on that? Yeah, oh, so what size screen?
Seven inch.
Oh, okay.
The same company makes an 8-inch and a 10-inch tablet, but they're not at $99.
Right, yeah.
It's a 400 megahertz processor.
Yeah, you should be aware of a few things. Earlier this week, MIPS, which we all know is a good company, and Ingenic, which are the companies behind the chipset in the Novo 7, sent out a press release trumpeting the arrival of the inexpensive but powerful tablet running Ice Cream Sandwich. Google's Android chief, Andy Rubin, also lent his endorsement. The Android 4 tablet was officially available through what appears to be a Hong Kong-based site, ainovo.com, but since the news broke, it's been all sold out. MIPS says more ice cream sandwich tablets will be in stock soon, and the site will be updated. Other Novo 7 slates are available out there, but there's a catch. Most of them aren't shipping with ice cream sandwich preloaded yet. In fact, the Novo 7 with Android 4 mentioned in this week's announcement is actually based on older hardware. A newer 7-inch Ainol tablet, the Novo 7 Advanced, comes with a faster ARM chipset and expected to get ice cream sandwich in the near future. Here's what online retailer Futeco had to say about the tablet. The Ingenic JZ4770, which is found in the $99 ICS or ice cream sandwich tablet announced this week, is slower than the all-winter A10 used in the Novo 7 Advanced, and there are question marks over the capability of the compatibility of the MIPS chipset with some apps. The ARM-based Novo 7 Advanced we sell is a better tablet and a much safer bet for the moment. At the time of writing, which was back in the 8th of December, there's already an Android 4 test release for the Novo 7 Advanced, so it won't be long until you can get Android 4 goodness on the Novo 7 Advanced. Now, Futeco sells the Novo 7 Advanced for about $190 in Europe. A couple of sites claim to be selling the ice cream sandwich tablet, but none of them are companies we can vouch for or we're able to find much information about. Better bet, if you simply can't wait, although waiting is probably the best option, is to look for a Novo 7 running Honeycomb from a reputable online retailer with a good deal on shipping. MIPS has confirmed that an ice cream sandwich over-the-air update will be available for the Novo 7 Basic. As for an official North American release, the companies involved still aren't saying anything more than the tablet will be available in other geographies within the next several months. Now, I have also written to them and asked for a review copy. We'll see if I actually get one. But who knows? If you're interested in a $99 Android tablet with some pep, let's talk about it. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
They are apparently known for their personal media players.
Yep.
For watching video on the go. And yeah. They've had quite a few of those over the years.
Well, and that's the point behind the graphics chip in the Novo 7, which is just that it's the same high quality chip they've been putting in their movie players for a while now, and it really looks like a pretty nifty little product. And I was one of the people who was very disappointed to discover that it was sold out when I went to buy one, because again, it's like the 10-cent apps for $100. How good does it have to be?
Didn't HP say they were going to bring their touchpad back to an eBay store for $99 for Christmas?
They said it. I haven't seen it. But really what this says is...
$99 is the sweet price. Lose as much money as you want, but sell it for $99.
Well, right. We'll make it up in volume. The big thing is that people have been saying this for the longest time. When the tablets come down in price, there will be an influx of people buying tablets. You know, $600 is a pretty hefty price to swallow. And I'm not going to argue that the iPad is worth it, but the fact is it's $600. And that's, particularly in these parlous economic times, that's just a little bit too much money for most people. Whereas if you can sell a tablet, well... Amazon and Barnes & Noble are proving very clearly that $200 is a pretty decent amount of money for an e-reader that, oh, by the way, also does some tablet-y things. But anybody who can turn around and sell a tablet for $100, they're going to clean up. And if it works right. Now, I don't expect it to work like a $600 tablet, but I expect it to work like my phone. And I mean my old Droid phone. You know, let it be a tiny bit slow. Well,
and that's one thing people don't realize about phones is most of these smartphones are $600-$800 if you buy them without that subsidized contract.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But because most of them are subsidized, yep, they're in the $200, $300 range, and people are now sensitized to that amount of money as the amount that they're willing to spend. So a $99 tablet, I promise you, it can clean up if it's just any kind of decent quality. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 21 minutes after the hour, and you should buckle your seatbelts in, because I think we're having a little guest after this break on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
We'll be with you in a moment, folks.
Yeah, we're just listening.
That's
It's my favorite intro music.
Yeah, mine too.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 26 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Listen, mister, I used to live by the airport. There was a time when one of the first jets landing in Rochester took off my neighbor's chimney.
Yeah, so there were a lot of people that live in the area, and they built an airport next to them.
Yes.
Well, I can remember. Like that in San Diego when you come in for a landing.
The building at
the
end
of
the runway. It
goes 45 degrees.
Yeah.
And then it levels right on out. It was like the first time I was stationed out in San Diego, the Marine Corps base out there. And first time coming out there, I did a death grip on the arm handles. Yeah. I thought I was going to walk out of the plane holding both of them in my arms.
Yep.
I saw a thing on one of the learning channels about the world's worst airports, and that actually wasn't – well, it was one of the worst. But
Hong Kong.
There were a lot of – right. Hong Kong was so bad they shut it down.
Yep.
And made a new one.
They used to have to bank between buildings. When you look out the window and you're looking down a building,
there's a big arrow. Arrow on top of a mountain where you have to see that arrow or you're going to miss the runway.
Yeah, exactly.
The boss did – we did clear it with the boss, and we can tell folks officially that if they would like the Uncle Dave's holiday recipe for cookies –
yes.
They can send a check here to Jazz 90.1 requesting Dave's holiday cookie recipe.
Dave's holiday cookie recipe.
And I will put your email address with that. And once you send your check in for $10, and remember it's going towards member support at Jazz 90.1, I will email you out Dave's holiday recipe for my cookies.
Excellent.
The trick is one of the primary ingredients comes from Antigua.
Yeah, they're very good cookies.
They're yummy cookies.
And with that, let's do this.
All right, kiddies, here we go. Get your footy jammies on. Grab a mug of hot cocoa. Sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Dave's in some pain today.
Uh-huh.
Uncle Dave's a hurting man.
Oh, we hurting when these idiots come in and, you know, they want to have you. The machine is totally infected. And, I mean, so bad that they've got to literally wipe it. You know, we can save the data, scan that, but I got to reinstall it. And I say, okay, well, bring in your software and we'll get it going. I don't think I can. Why?
Mm-hmm.
What operating system are you? Windows XP Service Pack 3. Okay. Then do you have this key code? Because we look on the machine and it's not there. Well, a friend built it for me.
Yeah, here we go.
And wait a minute. I don't know your friend. And how am I supposed to reload an illegitimate copy of Windows XP on your machine because, oh, you saved a few bucks and now you're upset because if you want XP or even upgrade it to Windows 7, I'm going to have to charge you for an operating system.
Right.
But you can't buy XP anymore, well, so now you're going to buy 7, you know, and that may mean more RAM.
I don't want to have to do that. Can't you just put it on there and make up a code? You want to try to guess at a 25-digit code that'll work? Good. Go at it. But you know what, folks? That's illegal, and I can't do it. And just because you wanted to save a few bucks and you got the kid down the street to build you a system and he put who knows what hack code on there and it's now crashed and you haven't backed anything up because your hard drive literally went south on you. There's no bringing it back. You've got to have a new hard drive and try to load everything, and you don't have squat. But you had a good, cheap box. And then you get ticked at us because we can't do it. It's like, wait a minute. Where does this come from?
Right.
I mean,
right. People don't pay attention to the legalities.
Uh-oh.
And that's always been true.
Yeah,
true.
There's been actually also been a rash of unscrupulous dealers who were selling machines
all
with pirate serial numbers. Yeah. So he may have not intentionally got an illegal copy, but
no,
it
I'm
is.
Sure it's not
yeah.
him. I'm sure it's whoever sold it to him.
Yeah,
you know, particularly when it's something like XP, where Microsoft doesn't force, you know, with 7, for example, when you put in your code, it mm-hmm. actually goes out and makes a check.
Yep.
And if it's the second machine with that code, it won't let it run.
Or you got to sit there and call them, tell them, hey, the hard drive
right.
crashed.
But there's something you have to do. With Windows
yes.
XP, it didn't matter. If you had a serial number, you could put it on 50 machines.
No, it's
no,
still...
Then
the Windows Genuine Advantage would run and say it was...
Yeah.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Right.
That gave you a hissy fit. Then, you had to call in because you type in the code and say, sorry, this code, we have questions about it. You'd call the 800 number, and you had to read in all these codes.
Even if it was your own legitimate computer, you're
yeah.
rebuilding
and you'd
yourself.
Have to, they'd yep. first come on and say, why are you requesting this? And you'd say, the hard drive crashed. We're reinstalling it from a client. Okay, and then they put us back into this automation system, and we'd read this long code. As we're reading it, they'd say, okay, that works. You're good. And then they start spitting out the 5-digit code to you to type in. And then you could even have it repeat and all that other stuff.
Right,
but,
right.
yeah, you still had to verify it with them with XP, right. at least Service Pack 3 and up.
Yeah, Service right. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, you know, people...
They don't care.
Well, they don't and we're not blaming the person who brought the machine in. We're blaming the person who created the machine in the first place.
Yes.
Because they clearly did something. Either they gave them a pirated copy or... They just didn't follow the procedure of giving them the sticker on the machine.
That sticker's got to be with every machine, starting with Windows 98,
right.
came with a sticker. And that sticker was to be placed on either the side or the top or the back of the machine so that if you had to do a reinstall, that is the number that you have to type back in.
Now, some computers put it on the bottom so it's out of the way, but then it rubs off.
Well,
and they can't read it again.
Yes, we've had that problem. Several times on our laptops at work, mm-hmm. but when we handed them out, we copied all the serial
You know one other trick
per machine, so we knew what we were about. That was not a problem.
One habit I've gotten into with our laptops, because like you say, that rubs off. What we'll do is we'll take the lap, you know, because the key code's on the bottom there. We turn around and copy it off, open up the drive where the hard drive is, put the code in there, you know, and tape it in there.
Yeah.
Then we put it back down. Then, just as an added precaution, because that can wear off, we've got big packing tape. We
yep.
trim it up and cover that. Because we had one person.
That helps.
It helps protect it. You know, at least an extra layer coating. Because we had one person, the label started coming off. So she said, yeah, that was bothering me because it was dangling there. So she picked the rest of it all off.
Of course she did. Of course you did.
No. I says, and again, that was another one that wanted the new,
if Windows,
new hard drive.
If Windows is still working, you can pull the key code out of it.
Yes, that's
but
what
if it's
we,
not
we
working
wound up
enough,
doing.
Yeah.
We saved her butt on that one.
Yeah.
We had a program that could read the key code. And then, again, once we put the new hard drive in there, we had Sam do up a sticker with the key code and pasted it inside on the hard on the hard drive door.
Last year, there was a story came out about the HP Slate, which eventually became the touchpad, I think. They had a novel idea to this. They had a little slide-out tray that had all of the logos and indicia because you need the FCC logo on it. You need all the serial number, barcodes. You need your Windows license codes on it. So they had a little slide-out tray that had all that stuff on it so you didn't have to see it on the computer itself. I have a hard time.
That's clever-ish.
Until it breaks off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody uses a cup holder.
I always have a hard time when I put Windows on a Mac. I can't force myself to put that sticker on the Mac. But last week I was working on a PC on a Windows on
the
a
dark
Mac,
side,
and
you had to have it.
I had to have it. So fortunately, we were able to find the original box that had the sticker on it.
Well, isn't there some?
Well, you put
I know
it,
it's a Mac, so put, you can't do anything.
I can put it on the bottom so you don't see it, but I'm worried about it rubbing off.
Well, isn't there something you can open up in the back of one of those? Isn't there, like, you can add RAM? There's a door somewhere?
Yeah, to the hard drive.
That's not big enough for the sticker. You could take the front panel off.
Well, then
yeah.
just, like you say, put the sticker on the bottom, and then you take
packing tape and cover
and just
it, yeah.
cut it.
And then they can wash it off if it gets, yeah.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
We found that works the best. You make it a little bit bigger than the actual label.
Yep.
So you can go around all the corners, and I have this pointed tool It's for rub-off letters that I used to use at Kodak.
Right.
And I rub it around there, and it seals it nice and good, and we trim it up with an X-Acto knife, and it looks great. And like I say, it holds up great.
Apple etches the serial number and information and barcodes on the computers.
Right.
But they're making them so small these days. Sometimes I have a hard time, even with a magnifying glass, of seeing what that
number is. No, it's
called
your eyes are getting older, dude.
Yeah, well,
your arms
yeah.
aren't long
we
enough.
We were handing out keyboards, Apple keyboards, along yep. with the iPads, and the numbers on those were so small, I couldn't read them. I simply couldn't.
We keep in a magnifying glass next to the service counter to
I kept a 19-year-old minion.
Yeah.
Who I'd hand him to him and say, read off the serial number. We'll type it in. And there were he was squinting. But, yeah, that's the numbers are tiny. And I get that. But if you don't have a magnifying glass, you're kind of done.
I finally, was about 6 months ago, was trying to read this stupid small lettering. And it's like, even Dan was having trouble. So I said, heck with this. Went down to Dan's Crafts and picked up a magnifier glass. It's a huge thing. So now we keep that. It's like Dan goes, yeah, this is small if I can't read it. You know, and he's got good vision.
Yeah, we got one of those nice magnifying lights. Uh-huh. I'm afraid we're going to have to buy more of those.
What we eventually did was a couple of the guys downloaded a magnifying app for their phones.
Oh, yeah, take a picture, yeah.
It doesn't even have to be a picture.
You just show it and
run up the magnification, and there it is, nice and big on your screen. Depends on the size of your screen.
Yeah.
But that worked, and so it went much faster after that.
The one app that I'm actually disappointed in, and I thought would work better, is that key ring.
Oh,
you know,
yeah?
Where they can scan in your, so you don't have to carry around all those stupid fobble keys.
Yeah.
I mean, I got it to work, I think, at Wegmans.
Yep.
And Tops.
Yeah, most of the...
But a lot of the other places, it won't scan it for squat, and it's like,
no, because it's really on a reflective screen, and it just doesn't work.
That would be so cool.
Well, they're doing NFC now, near field communication. You just swipe your phone over the sensor, and you've paid for it.
You wave it near the sensor instead of actually swiping a card through a reader.
Right. You don't swipe the card through a reader. And that's the way if you went to mobile with the mobile gas card,
just
wave it in front of the thing.
What about like a Wegmans?
I don't know that Wegmans is available yet.
You'll see on those point of sale units, it says swipe or tap card here. So some of them support NFC, but then your credit card has to have the NFC chip in it.
Right.
And some phones are starting to come with the NFC chips
in it,
too.
Well, and what's interesting is that that's been around in particularly in Japan for just
forever.
Years. And, people don't carry money around anymore. They swipe their phone in front of a soda machine, get a soda. What's interesting to me is...
Because it was invented by Sony in 2002.
Right. What's interesting to me is that Verizon is not including Google Wallet, which is Google's near-field communication system. They're putting their own in because they want the money themselves, when you do that. And as long as it has the same... Are you playing music underneath my voices? Thank you. As long as it has the same security, that's important. All right, we're going to take another break because we clearly need one. But we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and not too early to write your check to get Dave's holiday cookie recipe for member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Wait, thank you, Josh. Currently, there is a...
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour... We are sound bites.
Yes, we are.
I was trying to be dramatic, but there's no point in that. So let's just go to the phone and talk to Bob from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hi, fellas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you all.
And the same to you.
And love the show.
Thanks.
I just 2 points. One, I have an HP Touch, and I understand they are going to have a sale on them starting the 14th at $99 and $149. And that is fantastic. And for that price, I don't think it could go wrong.
No, it sounds like a good... Now, what are they running?
What
OS?
It's the Web OS.
It's the Web OS, and I guess they just went... they opened it up. They're not going to get rid of it. So I'm hoping that that's going to mean good things for the HP. But we'll see. But the real question I have is I'm trying to root a Nook to put Android on it, and I'm wondering how difficult it is and if there's a good website to go to show you how to do it.
Well, if you're going to root it, that's not easy. But you don't have to root it. There is a fellow making a product that you install onto an SD card.
Mm-hmm.
Boot the machine with that SD card in it, and you
right.
get Honeycomb.
Huh.
And then if you take the SD card out and reboot it, it's back to being a Nook reader.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that's...
That's not... Oh, this is the root, the NARS, Nook Automated Root System.
Right. NARS will do it. I think it's called Nook Honey. N-O-O-K-H-O-N-E-Y, because it's Nook Honeycomb. Yeah, and if you do Nook Honey, you'll see lots and lots of stuff about it.
Basically dual booting it.
The third link, yeah, essentially, the third link down talks about Nook Honeycomb burning a bootable SD card and blah, 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 blah. So take a look at that. It's, you know, you'll find that it's pretty good. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. And
okay.
The interesting thing about it is you can download Nook Honey, and they're at version 4 right now. I've been crying for version 5 for a while, but it's not out yet. It's a pretty neat little product. I have installed it. I have used it. You end up essentially with a 7-inch Honeycomb tablet. It doesn't have some of the things that, you know, the AI Novo, the Novo 7 we were talking about has. Like, it doesn't have a camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a microphone. But it really does an awful lot of really good stuff. So as a dip your foot in the Android world, particularly if you've already got the Nook, it's a great,
right.
great thing. So look for Nook Honey, and they're up to version 4.
Okay.
One was basically a proof of concept. Two was, you know, it's not how well the elephant dances. It's the fact that it dances at all. Three was pretty good. Four is much better. I've been waiting for 5. But there's lots of information about it on the net. XDA-developers.com has some information on it as well. And I would take a look at that. Take a look at those places in particular.
Okay. Well, very good. And thank you again. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. Oh, you'll want at least an 8 gig SD card. I've got it on a 4 gig, and it works, but it's slow because there's just not a lot of space left. So you'll want the 8 gig. That'll be preferable.
Which is kind of neat. We're waiting to hear first people doing that to the Amazon Fire, too. Being able to get rid of Amazon's front end and run just straight Android.
And the HP Touch as well.
Yep.
I've seen several people have talked about being
able to saw, do that. Well, one of the complaints about the HP Touch was that it was very, very slow. And the reason I read for that is that there's a lot of debugging material left on.
Right.
But there was a project someone did where they had WebOS running inside of an iPad, and it ran better than a native touchpad.
Wow. Yeah, I bet. All right, our next caller is Wayne from Holly, New York.
How you doing today?
Well, probably clearly is not Holly from Wayne, New York, so it's definitely
yeah.
Wayne from Holly, New York. What can we do for you, Wayne?
I got one of those, just for the giggles, I bought one of those Craigs for $99. It's an Android 2.2.
And what's the name of it?
Craig.
Can you spell that?
C-R-A-I-G. They've been around for years. They used to make audio and all that. It's like
Yeah. I know their audio. I did not realize they were also making tablets.
Well, they're being sold at a local drugstore. But the biggest thing people got to look for, the Craig is a resistive touch technology.
Yeah.
As opposed to capacitive touch. They give you a stylus, and you really need the stylus, but it works good.
Right.
I can't press hard enough with my finger to make it work well. I've got a Galaxy, and that, you know,
yeah.
once you're on capacitive touch, resistive touch, you're going, what am I doing wrong?
You're right. Right.
Or I'm getting weaker, you know.
Right. What Wayne is talking about is the different ways that they work. A capacitive touchscreen, like the Galaxy Tab, like the 100 different tablets, including the iPad, you can use your finger on it because that there's a capacitance between the electricity in the human body and the electricity in the thing, and it makes it work.
And you don't have to press very hard to make it work.
And you don't have to press very hard. A resistant touch, you have to press harder, and it actually works better with a stylus because it doesn't require anything to do with electrical fields.
I think the Fire is I don't know what they call it, but it has sensors. Like the old light beam touch, the old touch monitors had sensors in the side, and when your finger hit the screen, it broke that sensor beam and told it where to touch.
Right.
Sometimes that's the difference between multi-touch and touch. You can only touch it with one stylus versus 10 fingers.
Right, and that's really what Wayne is talking about here as well. But you like it other than that?
Oh, yeah. For something with 7-inch to carry around, it fits right in my coat pocket.
Well, see, and that's what Wi-Fi. I like about the size of those things. Yep.
A 7-inch is great for just kicking around when you got to get on and maybe check your email.
Yep.
It's a little bit bigger than your phone. It's you know, it's really cool.
Yep. It's big enough that you can see it easily if your eyes are old. It's big enough that you can read a book on it comfortably. But it's also small enough that it's easy to carry around. It's one of the things I was looking at with the Novo 7 because it does have a capacitive touch screen, so you can do multi-touch and all that other stuff.
It's got a lot of apps already on it. Reader takes you out to Amazon and everything. You don't even have to go to the App Store.
Yep, and as long as that app is compatible with Android 2.2, you win.
Right.
Exactly right. Sounds terrific.
Take it easy on the rumballs, and I'll be listening next week.
Perfect. Thanks, Wayne. Don't forget, if you want Dave's holiday cookie recipe, just send a donation to Jazz 90.1. Include the words holiday cookies, and we'll be happy to, and of course your address, and we'll be happy to get that recipe out to you. It'll be delicious.
Yeah, their email address.
Oh, their email address.
Yeah,
all right.
Email address.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So leave your email address because Dave does things. This is the 21st century, and we are, after all, sound bites. So we will have to make sure it's your email address, and we'll get you that out. All right, we've got just a couple of minutes left, so we've got one more phone call here. This is George from Greece, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Quick one for you.
Yeah.
I use a hardware software package called Radio Shark.
Sure.
Which allows me to record off-air broadcasts. But from time to time, it hangs up and does not record the signal that is brought in from the hardware.
Right.
And I'm curious to know if you can think of anything that I could do that might prevent those from happening, because there's no alert. Everything appears to be working fine until you try to use the file.
Have you got have you got the latest version?
The latest software version.
I'm sorry, I doubt that I do. I don't usually pay much attention to that.
Well, you should in this case. I'm sure there have been updates. There's a lot of software out there that version 1, even version 2, doesn't work as well as versions 3 or 4 or 5. So get the latest version. Start there. Also, make sure you have enough RAM. Check the requirements and generally double them.
Okay.
You know? So if they suggest 512 meg or a gig, then we really, really want 1 or 2 gigs.
Okay.
But that's where I would start. I would make sure you have the latest version because often enough, you know, it may be that was an actual problem that a lot of people had and they fixed it.
Okay.
What computer and operating system are you using with it?
I'm using, it's not a name brand computer. It's one that was put together by a local company and I'm working with, the version of operating system that's, 2 versions old now, XP.
All right. The important thing is that you've met the requirements, but make sure you've got the latest version. That, you know, I have to start there. That's generally the way that works is that if there is a problem somewhere, almost always upgrading to the latest version solves a lot of that, at least.
They do say it only works in the English version of XP, not in any other localized versions.
Let me say, this only occurs maybe...
Here's what people are saying about Jazz 90.1.
Okay. I like your show a lot.
Okay, apparently we're Don?
I'll catch you another time. Thanks.
Why are we hearing that?
That's the end.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'll call in another time.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry, George. But that lets us know that we are done for another week. I want to thank you for wasting 2 hours of your life, particularly those of you in Texas and Christian in Texas and Julie in Florida. I think 2 hours in Florida in the middle of the day is a lot nicer than 2 hours up here in the middle of the day. But you wasted it all with us, and we appreciate that very much. Remember, if you want Dave's holiday cookie recipe, send us a donation and your email address, and we'll get it out to you. In the meantime, we're going to take a week off, and we're just going to sit around and stare out at the snow and cry. And then we'll be back. Here next Saturday with a lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Here's what people